We're continuing the Shir in Likutei Halachos, Ora Chaim, Chelek Aleph, Hilchos Tefillin, Halacha Vav, Paragraph Yud Beis. We've had a lengthy discussion a little bit so far about Tefillin. Now Rav Nosson Zal is going to go off track a little bit and go into speaking about Chametz and Matzah, and he's going to tie that into our topic. This Halacha, we said, is based on chapter 72 in Likutei Halachos, the second half of Likutei Halachos. One of the main topics there is the topic of Chaim Nitzchim, eternal life, which is synonymous with humility. Olam Haba, Chaim Nitzchim, v'zeh b'chinas mitzvah sachilas matzah v'isur chometz b'pesach. Based on what we've been learning till now, we'll understand the concept of eating matzah and the fact that we're forbidden to eat chametz on Pesach, shenemar beparshas tefillin, which is written about in the parshias of the tefillin that we wear. Kama shekosuv, as it says there, shivas yomim toichal matzois, for 7 days you should eat matzois, matzois yeyochel, v'lo yiroi lecho chometz. What's the connection? What's the connection between Pesach, chometz and matzah, and tefillin? A Jew must see to it that our eating should be something holy, something spiritual. Because we know that death was brought into the world as a result of an improper eating. By Adam and Chava eating from the Eitz Hadas. Ve'ikar ha-misa hu bechinas his gabrus ha-yeshus v'ha-gashmias shel ha-choymer. Now Rav Nosson Zal is going to define death. What is death? Death is where the physical part of the person overtakes the spiritual. His gabrus ha-yeshus v'ha-gashmias. Yeshus means the materialistic part of the person, the physical part of the shel hachomer of the body becomes so powerful ad shenis aleim hoanova, to the point where it causes the humility of the person to disappear. Bibchinas misa, and that's the concept of death. Sheikar hachaim huamiti, and because as we learned earlier, true life comes from the humility of Moshe Rabbeinu, which is found in each and every single organ of the body of a Jew. Remember, we mentioned that this is brought over there in Likutei Moran. Rabbeinu Zal there quotes a pasuk which refers to Moshe Rabbeinu as mechoikek, chelkak mechoikek tzofon, referring to, and the word mechoikek is 248. Which corresponds to the 248 organs in the body of a human being. And Rabbeinu Zal there shows clearly how each and every single Jew has Moshe Rabbeinu, has the humility of Moshe Rabbeinu in each and every one of our 248 organs. We have that potential. So the true life, spiritual life, is that humility of Moshe Rabbeinu that's found inside of us. Ulehepech, and the opposite of that, hamisa, death, he his almusuanova, is when the humility disappears. Shehu bechinas ayin, humility, another term for humility is ayin. Ayin means nothing, I am nothing. How does it disappear? Al yidei his gabrus hayeshus shel hachomer, by the physicalness of the body taking over. These two are in a tug of war, in a sense. They're fighting it out. The body is pulling in its direction. The neshama is pulling in its direction. When the body wins, chas v'shalom, that brings about, that buries the soul, which is the battery, the source of life in the person. The pasuk says, vayipach bi'apov nishmas chayim, that Hashem created Adam from Adama, from earth, from earthliness, and he blew the soul of life into Adam. So the neshama is what gives life. The ruchnius, the spirituality, gives life. So that when the body starts taking over and the soul becomes less and less and weaker, that could also bring upon the person death. al yedei his gabrus hayeshus shel achomer shehu bechinas geus. When the body decides to take over, which is the opposite of humility, it's yeshus, it's gaiva. These two terms, ayin means nothing, yesh means something. We talk about Hashem creating this world, the physical world, yesh me'ayin, something from nothing. And the term something here is used to refer to yeshus, something that you can touch, something materialistic, something physical. So that when we speak about humility versus arrogance, they are also referred to by these terms. When a person is humble, he says, I'm nothing, the term I am. When we talk about a person who has arrogance, he's a yesh. He's not a nothing, he's a something. He takes up space, he's a real something and a somebody. So these two terms are used to represent humility versus gaiva, spiritual versus physical. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, v'gam begashmius, even on a physical level, ikar hamisa al yedei hisgabrus haguf al hanefesh. What causes death is when the body is taking over the soul. Hachomer al hatzura. The chomer, the physical substance, is taking over the tzura. Tzura is another term used to refer to the soul, the spiritual portion. Shehu bechinas hisgabrus hayeshus al ho'ayin. This is the yesh trying to take over the ayin. Ad shemuchrachas hanefesh lotzeis, to the point where it drives the soul away. The soul is forced to leave, ulehisalim, and to become hidden, to disappear, betachlis hahelem, to the greatest degree of hiddenness. This is the terminology that's used in Sifrei Kabbalah, Sifrei Chassidus, Sifrei Musar. These are the terms that they use. Yesh and Ayin, Chomer and Tzura, Anova and Gaiva, Guf and Nefesh. These are all terms. There's a chapter in Likutei Moran, chapter 37, in the first part of Likutei Moran, where like in the opening paragraph, Rabbeinu Zal gives a listing of column A, column B, that you have Guf versus Nefesh, light darkness versus light, good versus bad, you know, the whole breakdown. V'chol ze nimshach al yedei achilas eitz hadas toivara. And what brought this about? What caused this? That the chomer should take over the tzura, the yesh. What caused this is the eating from the eitz hadas. Ki ikar hachius nimshach lehodom al yedei hu achila, kinira b'chush. Because we know that a human being draws life and energy and strength from eating, as we see in physical life. Alkein tzrichim shetihya hoachila bigdusha al pi haTorah. Therefore, we have to be very careful that a person's eating should be conducted with holiness according to the Torah. Va'oz nimshach al yedei hoachila hachius mehaTorah. And when a person is eating properly according to the Torah, then the eating becomes a pipe. The food becomes a pipe by which the person is receiving life from the Torah. There's a pasuk, we'll see if Rav Nosson Zal will quote it here, that Rabbeinu Zal quotes very often, V'toyroscha betoich me'oi. Your Torah in my kishkes, in my intestines. Making the connection between achila, we know when a person eats, the food passes through the stomach and onto the intestines. So it says, V'toyroscha besoich me'ai. I want the Torah in my intestines. I want the Torah to play an important role in giving me the energy, the life energy that I want to draw from the food. So he says, when a person is eating bigdush al piya Torah, then they draw chiyus from the Torah through eating. Shehu bechinas chayim nitzchiyim shel olam habo. Here we're not talking about physical life, we're talking about spiritual energy and life of Olam Haba, Shehu Anova Amitius, which corresponds to true, pure humility. V'alkein be'emes, Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaShalom, Shezocho La'anova B'tachlis HaShleimus B'chaim Chiyusoi, And based on what we're saying here now, that we have these two opposing forces, the body and the soul, and the real source of life is the soul, it's just that they have to work together in harmony. And in order for the body not to mess things up, but on the other hand, just the opposite, to cooperate, the body has to fulfill the laws of the Torah, cooperate with the laws of the Torah regarding Achila. Based on this, you'll understand why Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the highest level of humility, and he was zeichet to the highest level of humility even while he was physically living. We learned before that everybody becomes humble when they die. They put him in the ground. They bury him. The body disintegrates, goes away totally, and you're left with the humility. You're left with the spiritual. But Moshe Rabbeinu was one of the exceptions to the rule, where even while he was physically living in the form of a body, the Torah testifies, Vo'ish Moshe onav moy. He was perfection in humility. So because of that, al kein lo yoyetzorech la'achilo klal. That's one of the reasons why he was able to exist without eating at all. Vo'hoyo bahar gimel pomim arboim yoim. He went up on the mountain, Tar Sinai. He went up to heaven three times for 40 days straight each time. And the Torah says, Lechem lo yochal. He didn't eat any food. Then how did he exist? Where did he draw his energy from? Ki kol chiyusoi hoya chaim amitim. Because his source of life was true life. Shehem chaim nitzchim shelosim, which is the eternal life of the future. Shehem anovo amitis, which is synonymous with pure, real humility. And because Moshe Rabbeinu was so outstanding in that, even while he was in physical form, he was able to live off that. Avol shar b'nei hoylam, but for the rest of us, tzrichin lechol kidei laham shechius, we do have to eat in order to draw energy, life energy. And the source of our energy, of our physical energy, comes from the true life, from the spiritual life of the future, which is this humility. Ki hu achilo hu shemechale hamaycho legamri. Because when a person eats, what they end up doing is they destroy the food completely. The food disappears. They chop it up and they grind it up and it disappears. And through the process of chewing it and then having it digested and broken up and further broken down and further broken down, that's what enables the person to sort, to select out, to extract from the food Pnimius chiyusoi, the essence of life, shehu hanitzutzos hakidoshim shebetoichoi, which are the holy sparks that are found in that food, shehem ruchniim legamri, which are totally spiritual, shehem bechinas ayin, they're in that category of ayin. Ki be'emes ein ho'odom nizoin migashmius hamaychol klal, because the truth is, a person does not receive energy and strength from the physical aspect of the food whatsoever. Ki hagashmius nas mimenu psoiles gomor. Because from the physical substance of the food, that gets converted to garbage, to waste matter, v'nidche l'chutz l'gamri, and it is ejected from the body. It's sent out of the body. Rak ikar chiyusoi, but rather, where does the person draw energy from and life? From the life that's found in the food, shehu bechinas ayin, which is again that spirituality, the ayin, the bechin of anova, shehu bechinas chayim nitzchim, shemishom shoyresh hachayim. That's the source of life. Umi she'oichel bebechina zois, and a person who eats that way, where eating for them is not a physical experience. They're not interested, they're not concerned whatsoever with how the food looks or tastes. They're interested purely in drawing energy from the food to enable them to serve Hashem, to do mitzvahs, to daven, to learn. Beli shum taruva is psoilis, a person who eats on a totally spiritual level, without any junk mixed into it, bevadai hu chai lo'olam. That person lives permanently. Because again, when a person's eating physical food, the food is gashmius, and it has a little bit of spirituality in it. So that kind of food can hold a person for a couple of hours, couple of days even sometimes. Why? Because it's got a little bit of ruchnius, a lot of gashmius. If a person reverses that, if a person eliminates the gashmius, they are totally disinterested, not interested whatsoever in the gashmius. The eating for them is a totally spiritual experience. When they're eating, they're thinking only about Hashem, not the food at all. They're speaking Divrei Torah together with the meal, and they're making sure to eat the food with holiness. It's eaten for Lekavod Shabbos, Sudas Mitzvah. Rav Nosson Zal says that kind of eating, bevadai hu chai li'olam. The person lives not for a few hours or a few days, the person lives permanently. Bebechinas, as Hashem said about Adam and Chava, that if they eat from the Eitz HaChayim, v'ochal, they'll eat, v'chai li'olam, they will live forever. Sheheim hatzadikim amitiyim. That pasuk refers also to the true tzaddikim who eat with such a level of holiness and purity, where the eating by them is a spiritual experience. Sheheim chayim v'kayomim tomid lo'olam. Those tzaddikim live eternally. V'einom mesom klal. They do not die at all. The Torah does not use the word death related to them. Kama Yisham Razal, as the Gemara says in Brachas, page 18, Hatzadikim b'misosam kruyim chayim. That tzadikim, even after they physically pass away, they are still considered alive. U'kemoy she'omar Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai koydem histalkusoy. And as we find Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said right before his passing, when his son asked him about the topic of going to kivrei tzadikim, how do we go to pray at the gravesites of tzadikim? Isn't there a problem of a doirei shel hamesim? And Rabbi Shimon went into a whole explanation, and one of the statements that he made there was, "Shaini hani de'ikrun chayim." These people, the tzaddikim, are different. They are not called mesim. We don't refer. They're not who the Torah is referring to when it uses the word mesim. They are called chayim. Even after they pass away, they're referred to as being alive. U'kamayshom razal, and as the Gemara says in Tainas Daf Hey about Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu loy meis. This is current events. Today is Sunday, Parshas Vayechi. And it's interesting, someone in my shul pointed this out just last night when we were doing Kiddush Levana. He said, we're starting the Parsha that's going to speak about Yaakov Avinu dying. What's the Parsha called? Vayechi Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu lives. The whole parsha is about Yaakov Avinu is about to pass away. He calls Yosef, calls the brothers. The whole thing is dealing with one thing, the death of Yaakov Avinu. Wrong. That's not what it's dealing with. Look at the title. The title is Vayechi Yaakov, that a true tzaddik like Yaakov Avinu, who was the opposite of Esav, we've learned before that Esav was the epitome of eating begashmius. Remember when Esav came in after his fight with Nimrod and he opened his mouth like an elephant and he said to Yaakov Avinu, shovel it in. I don't want to eat. Halitenina. Shovel it in like they do for a camel, for a big animal. Shovel it in. He couldn't get it down fast enough. That's Esav. He is the veshet, the food pipe. Yaakov Avinu is the opposite of that. By Yaakov Avinu it says, hakoil koil Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu is that other pipe, the windpipe. The koil toira and koil tefila. Yaakov Avinu is the epitome of perfection, eating properly. He gave Esav what he needed to eat. When it comes to Yaakov Avinu eating, everything, when he sends Esav out to bring him food so he can give him a bracha, the Zohar HaKadosh explains every word that's used there. He said, make me matamim from mitzvah isaseh, not from loisaseh. Yaakov Avinu's achila was with the highest level of kedusha. Therefore, the Gemara says, Yaakov Avinu loimeis. Avol al yedei chet odom arishoin nesarvu kol hadvorim. But unfortunately, as a result of the sin of eating from the Eitz Hadas, everything got mixed up. ומחמס התערובויס שיש באכילה, and because of the fact that eating, the mix-up that's involved in eating, that there's gashmius and ruchnius, there's good and bad, alkein yefsher lizoin me'achius digdusha sheboi, that's why it is impossible for a Jew to draw energy, life, from the holiness of the food, shehu b'chinas anova, which is the humility, ve'ein kol echod al pi ha'Torah HaKadosh, I'm sorry, shehu b'chinas anova ve'ayin, the spiritual part of the food, which is referred to as anova, and ayin, ki im al pi ha'Torah HaKadosh. The only way that a Jew can connect to the spiritual part of the food, to the real good of the food, the eternity in the food, is through the Torah. Shemevareres kol hadvorim. The Torah has the ability to sort out everything, separate the good from the bad. Kamei shekosuv, as David HaMelech says in Tehillim, v'toyroscha betoich me'ai. Your Torah in my kishkis, in my intestines. That when I'm eating, what's going to ensure that I'm eating properly? The fact that my eating is going to be connected to the Torah. The Torah is going to define what I eat, how I eat, when I eat, every and the holiness, the constructiveness of my eating. Validei brocha tchila v'soif. And by making a brocha before I eat and a brocha after I eat. V'gam im kol zeh. And even after doing all of that, even after eating with Torah and Torah and more Torah, unfortunately, we still find that no matter what we eat, whether it's chocolate bars or soya, we can't live permanently. We can't. Utsrichen lomus. We must experience death. Ki yefshir levarer bishlemus bechayov. Because it is impossible to complete this birur, this sorting out of the good from the bad, while we're physically living. Only by experiencing death and being put into the ground, buried. Avlal kol ponim, but at least bevada yesh chiluk godoil bein huachila. There definitely is a major difference between how people eat. Ki huachila shibigdusha al pi haTorah, because a person who's eating with holiness according to the Torah, he ikar hachayim. That's the essence of life. Ki mamshich hachius misharoshoi, because the person is drawing life from its source. Mibchinas anova, from humility. Shibchinas chayim nitzchiyim, which is eternal life. Vze shehizkir admor zal leinyan achila daiko ho inyan busha. Rav Nosson Zal says, now let me show you something interesting. The chapter in Likut Imran that this halacha is based on, chapter 72, we said speaks a lot about humility and about a person being humble, etc. One of the things that Rabbeinu Zal mentions there, one of the times that a person could easily feel arrogant, big, or the opposite is when it comes to eating. There's a pasuk in Chumash Dvarim, pen toichal v'savoto v'rom levavecha v'shachachto es Hashem alekecha. Hashem says, watch it, you're going to eat, you're going to become very rich, you're going to be eating thick, not the baby steaks, the big ones, the six-footers. And you're going to be eating salmon and all the fancy Delancey stuff. And you know what's going to happen? V'rom levavecha. It's going to make you feel like a big shot. Look who I am. Wow, look what I get to eat. I'm eating and the rest, I pay $600 for this meal. So I'm not known, you can't call me nobody, I'm somebody. And that leads to rom levavecha, arrogance, v'shochachto es Hashem alekecha, and forgetting Hashem chas v'shom. The opposite of that, Rabbeinu Zal gives an example in that chapter in Likut Imran, where he speaks about busha, he speaks about a person feeling shy and embarrassed at the time of eating. Ayin shom, mashikosav, take a look what Rabbeinu Zal writes over there, al pasuk mishom chofar oichel. This is a pasuk in Iov, where it says that that a person stands in a high place, and from there he searches for food. The word lachbor means to dig, to search. But the word, that the same root, ches peresh, means shame and embarrassment. There's a pasuk v'chofro halavona, the moon will be ashamed and embarrassed. So Rabbeinu Zal writes over there, so the pasuk says there, chofar oichel, that when it comes to eating, there's a busha involved. What is it? Sheroi sheyil odom busha lohishit hamaycho lepiv. Rabbeinu Zal writes there that a Jew who really believes in Hashem and realizes how great Hashem is and how tiny I am, when that person puts a spoonful of food in his mouth, should be feeling shame and embarrassment. What did I do to deserve this? Do I deserve this? The Gemara makes a statement which Rabbeinu Zal quotes over there, man de'ochil de'lav dilei bohis listakule biape. A person's eating something that's not his. If somebody's giving me a freebie, a free meal, a handout, it's embarrassing. When I'm sitting there eating, knowing it's not my food, it's somebody else's food, I didn't do anything at all to deserve this. I didn't bring a gift, I didn't pay for it, nothing. I'm simply in a situation where I don't have food and somebody says, come to my house. You need food? I'll give you food. So the Gemara says that human nature is that when a person has that feeling that they didn't do anything at all to deserve it or anything, person feels embarrassed. Rabbeinu Zal says there, every healthy human being, every normal Jew should be feeling that every time he eats. Because even if I did, supposedly I went to work and I made money. Who are you kidding? What did you do? You didn't do nothing. It's Hashem's world. Hashem gave you the money. Hashem gave you the food. Hashem gave you the house. Hashem gave you the wife. Nothing here is yours. You're eating for, and you didn't do anything to really deserve it or earn it. So Rabbeinu Zal says that a person who really realizes that, when such a person eats, he's eating with a feeling of shame and embarrassment in the presence of Hashem. I'm in the presence of Hashem. None of this is mine. I'm eating Hashem's food in Hashem's house, and I'm nothing. So I don't have to worry about v'rom levavecha v'shachachta. I remember Hashem very well when I'm eating. When I make that bracha, I remind myself whose food it is and whose everything it is. So Rabbeinu Zal writes there, Sheroi shiel odom busho lohoishet hamaycha lepiv, that a Jew should feel ashamed and embarrassment to put the food in his mouth. Ayin Shom, look over there in Likut Imran where Rabbeinu Zal expounds on this. Ki bevadai tzrichin lahamshich al atzmoi busha gedoyla b'shasu achila. Because a Jew most definitely is supposed to try to feel this embarrassment and shame when we're eating. Embarrassed in whose presence? Embarrassed in the presence of Hashem. Not that I sit down at the table and I yell, hey, Sprinzer, where's the salt? Where's the ketchup? How come you didn't do anything here? You know, like I'm the boss, like I'm in charge, like I'm the king here and I'm giving orders. If a person follows Rabbeinu Zal's formula here, person knows there's one king, there's one body in charge, and that's Hashem. We are all servants in Hashem's presence. And a servant doesn't yell, and a servant doesn't say, give me this, give me that, you know, none of that kind of stuff. And when a person has this at this busha, we learned earlier that busha is synonymous with humility. Those two go together. So because a humble person is a person who's shy, embarrassed, you know. So when a person has this kind of busha, through that they're zeicha to chayim nitzchim, that their eating doesn't just give them physical nourishment, it gives them spiritual nourishment. The food gives them eternal energy. Shehu anova shenimshach al yidei habusha. This is the humility that comes through this busha. Shehu bechinas tshuva, which is synonymous with tshuva, k'may shekosav shom, as Rabbeinu Zal writes over there. The Hebrew word for boishes, is the same word as to do tshuva. The commandment in the Torah to do tshuva is v'shavto ad Hashem alekecha, you will return to Hashem. The word shavto is the letters boishes, because as we've learned, one of the highest forms of tshuva is when a person feels ashamed of what they did wrong. They feel ashamed and embarrassed. The opposite of tshuva, sins are a form of arrogance. He's not afraid of Hashem. He denies Hashem, chas v'shalom. He forgets Hashem. So tshuva is shame and embarrassment. as Rabbeinu Zal writes over there, Kedei lahamshich chiyus digdusha, in order to draw upon myself spiritual energy from the food that I'm eating. V'alkein his hira toira beyoser shaloyovoi lidei gasus alidei achila. And this is why we find the Torah giving a specific warning of avoiding gaiva when it comes to eating. Kemay shekosov, the pasuk I just quoted before, Hashem says, pentoicha, watch it. You're going to eat v'savata, and you're going to be full. You're not going to have a little meal. You're going to have a real big meal. And what's going to happen? V'rom levavecha. You're going to become arrogant, bloated, v'shochachto es Hashem alekecha. And you're going to forget Hashem, chas v'shalom. Because when a person is not eating with holiness according to the Torah's instructions, then he doesn't activate that spiritual life that's found in the food. But rather, he's drawing his energy from the garbage part of the food, from the waste matter of the food. Shubachinas geyus varam levav, which is synonymous with arrogance, shehu chiyus the sitra achra. That's what nourishes the other side. Shehu be'emes miso, which is synonymous with death. That's the opposite of life. Ki mishom ikra hamisa, because that's what causes death. If you remember, we had learned earlier, what caused Adam and Chava to eat from the Eitz Hadas? Hashem said, don't eat. Why? Because Hashem knew that this food, eating from the Eitz Hadas, would not give them the humility. It would give them the opposite. And in fact, when the Nachash, when the snake tried to convince them to eat, he said, you know why Hashem told you not to eat this? He's afraid. He's afraid. Because this is what made him so big and strong. This is Hashem's Wheaties. He ate from the Eitz Hadas, and this is how created worlds. And he knows that if you eat from this tree, you're going to be just like him. You're going to be able to create worlds also. So what was the snake offering? Gaiva. Gaiva. That's what he was tempting them with. Gaiva. So the whole tikkun for eating, one of the most important tikkunim of eating is how a person can eat with humility. That when a religious Jew comes to the table, he comes, Rabbeinu Zal said, that even if there's nobody home, it's just you, you're sitting out to eat, it's like you're sitting in front of a great king. To eat with that kind of respect and humility and dignity, That's achila digdusha. That's this achila that leads to chayim nitzchiyim. Shezeo bechinas. And again, this is why the Gemara says in Brachas over there, daf yud ches, rishoim bechayehem kruyim esim. That a rasha, while he's physically living, he's called dead. What do you mean? He ain't dead. He just ate 3 ice creams, 4 steaks. Dead people can eat. Yet that's called dead. That's called dead. Shalachila kazois nemar, about that kind of eating, the pasuk says, ki beyoim acholcha mimenu mois tomus, rachman son. On the day that you eat from the Eitz Hadas, you'll be dead. Meaning, even if you're physically breathing and walking, you're dead. You're a dead person walking around, rachman olitzlan. V'alkein tzrichim b'shasu achilo li zoher b'yoyser lahamshich alatzmoy bushanam. And therefore, specifically when a person's eating, they have to try very hard to focus on this concept of feeling shame and embarrassment in the presence of the owner of the house. Who's the owner of the house? Hashem. His food, I'm eating his food and his everything. Shayidezeh nechaye hashiflus. Through this, we wake up and we draw life from the humility, shehu b'chinas chayim nitzchiyim, which is eternal life. Kedei lahamshich al yedehu achilo chayim nitzchiyim hoela, so that through our eating we'll draw upon ourselves eternal life. Shehem chayim amitiyim, shehem anova v'shiflus. And now Rav Nosson says, va'ayin mizeh behilchus orlo halacha beis. Take a look in Likutei Halachos Yoredeya, Hilchus Orlo halacha beis, where Rav Nosson also speaks about this topic. The concept of orlo, that the first 3 years that fruit grows on a tree, it's off limits. Why? Because it's attached to the sitra achra. There are 3 klipos. When Yecheskel Anovi saw his vision, he saw Onon Godol, Eish Mislakachas, and Ruach Zorah. He saw 3 forms of the sitra achra. And then he saw Noiga, like a twilight that surrounded it, And inside all of that was the Chashmal, the holy light of Hashem. And the Sifrei Kabbalah bring that that's what goes on during the first 3 years that a tree is generating fruit. During the first 3 years, those three klipos have a hold on it. The fourth year, because it's Noiga, and Noiga can go either way. Noiga can either enter into the Kedusha or the opposite. Therefore, by doing an extra, by performing a special act of holiness, by taking that fruit and bringing it to Yerushalayim, that's how we bring it into the Kedusha. The extra holiness that Yerushalayim has the ability to swing that to the side of good. Once we've gone through those 4 years, now the Klipos have gotten what they're supposed to get. Now it's Kedusha, now it's holiness. So we see when it comes to food, there's so much birurim going on. And with this, we'll also understand the importance of the Jews eating matzah and avoiding chametz when they left Egypt. Shehu bitul hagvulim v'hametzorim. We had learned earlier that Egypt, the word Mitzrayim is miloshen metzar, constriction, boundaries, which is this is my area. That's called Yeshus. That over this is my land. That kind of thing. That's gvulim mitzorim. Going out of Egypt is the concept of becoming free from all of those boundaries. Bechinas chayim nitzchiim. Golus is a concept of death, and geula is a concept of chayim nitzchiim. Ki chometz yeshboi achizas hageyus beyoser. Because chometz is synonymous with gaiva. Chometz is one of the real displays of gaiva. Why? Ki chometz oile benaficha. What is chometz? When the dough rises, it becomes bloated, big, it rises up. Shehu b'chinas geyus, that's the concept of gaiva. Shemal umaroime matzmoy, where the person picks himself up al yidei ruach govoya shebekirboy, through the arrogance inside of him. Umachmas shebepesach adayin koidum kabola satoira. And we learned before that how does a person deal at? I'm eating physical food, and the food has yeshus in it. It's 99% yeshus, 1% spirituality. So we said, no problem. We have the Torah. The Torah is the cure for that. The more you apply the Torah to your food, in what kind of food you buy and how you eat it and when, all the different things, that elevates the spirituality and lessens the gashmius. But what about when it came to Pesach? The Jews had not yet received the Torah at all. The Torah wasn't given yet. Because of the fact that at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Jews had not yet received the Torah. Therefore, we were unable to challenge that Ruach Gavoya, that Gaiva. We couldn't fix it. Ki ikr bituloi al yedei Torah. Because the main bitul of that Gaiva is through the Torah, shenim sheches al yedei ish asher ruach boy, which we receive through the tzaddikim, who are referred to as ish asher ruach boy, one who has the Holy Spirit, shehu b'chinas ruach elokim, the Spirit of Hashem, shehem hisnoitzitzu samoichin, as we learned earlier. That's the sparkling of the brain. B'chinas, as the pasuk says about Bezalel, va'amalei oisoi ruach elokim, b'chochma u'betvuna, you know, Bechinas v'ruach alekim rachefes al pnei amoyim. That ruach alekim that hovers over the waters of Torah. Va'ideze machnien u'mevatlin hageyus. And it's that ruach alekim, the Torah, that helps us defeat the opposite ruach, which is gaiva, shehu ruach gavoya, ruach ro, ruach shtus, ruach tuma. That's also called ruach. That's the opposite kind of ruach. V'zoichin la'anov amitius, and v'zoichin to true humility. K'mavur b'Torah, now, as Rabbein Azal explains over there, shalidei chidushei Torah, Rabbein Azal writes there, by a person being zoichin to bring forth new ideas in Torah, new revelations in Torah, shehein b'chinas kabola satoira, that's similar to receiving the Torah, nimshach busha, that's how a person draws upon himself busha, v'nichya hashiflus v'hanova, and he awakens the humility inside of him. Just like we saw by Matan Torah, after Hashem gave the Torah on Har Sinai, Moshe Rabbeinu recaps the whole thing, and he says, you know why Hashem did all of this? Leman nasoises eschem to elevate you, and leman tihye yirosai al paneichem levilti techto, so that you should have the fear of Hashem upon your faces, so that you won't commit sins. The Gemara says, what does that mean, the fear of Hashem on your faces? Zu habusha. That refers to this feeling of being ashamed and embarrassed. That's why Hashem showed himself as being so big, thunder and lightning and the whole mountain, to scare us, to make us feel tiny, to make us feel ashamed and embarrassed, to know that he's a king. This isn't a joke. So therefore, whenever a person is zochet to be mechadesh in Torah, to receive the Torah anew, the person receives this feeling of busha, a holy busha, of feeling small in the presence of Hashem. Avol bePesach. However, on the holiday of Pesach, b'shas yitzias Mitzrayim, she'oz adayin lo yizachin lo kabos haTorah, when we had not yet received the Torah, alkein tzrichin oz li zoher moed mechomeitz. Therefore, we're required to be very, very careful to stay far away from chomeitz. She'yesh bo yachizas haruach v'ho'avir shel olam hazeh b'yoyser. Chomeitz, which has a lot of that air of the physical world in it, it's bloated. Right? That's what makes that dough rise. The avir of oilam hazeh that goes into it. Ki oz nechaz b'chometz haruach ra'anal. Because that chometz takes into it this ruach ra, shehu ruach gavoya, ruach hatuma, which is this arrogance, this impurity. Why? Machmashadayin loy kibalnu atorah. Because we were not yet given the antidote to it, the Torah. Shehi hachnosoi, which is what humbles, what defeats the gaiva. Alkein tzrichin lecho matzo. That's why during Pesach we're required to eat matzo. Shehi neefes b'chipozoin koidem shemaschel lishloitu l'tzachis b'chizo haruach v'avir shel zeolam. Matzo is something that's baked quickly before the ruach of oilam hazeh. That ruach tuma, that ruach gaiva, can take over the dough, can affect it. Ki matzo nimsheches mimokoim gavoya moi, because matzo comes from a very high, holy place. Mibchinas hisnoitzetzutz hamoichin hameirin oz beleil shimurim. It comes from the sparkling of the seichel that shines on the night of the Seder night, which is called Leil Shimurim, Beha'ora Gedoy Lamoid, with a very bright light, Al Yedei Re'iyas Pnei HaTzadik Levad, by looking at the face of the Tzadik, by looking at the face of the Tzadik, Afal Pi Shadayin Lo Kibali Menu HaTorah, even though we did not yet receive any Torah from him. Because in the chapter of Likut Imran that this halach is based on, he starts off there by saying that seeing the face of the tzaddik, even before you see any Torah, that itself is a tremendous, tremendous thing. Gives a person tremendous light. That just like it said by Moshe Rabbeinu, Va'ata sechezem ikol hom, that by his looking at the people, he gave them gedula, greatness, authority, malchus, sorei alofim, sorei meis. Remember, we discussed that earlier. So on the night of Pesach, which is one of those nights when the people would come to see Hashem, Sholosh Pomim Bashono Yero Kol Zruch Es Pnei Hashem Alekecho, and the Gemara says that on Yontif there's a special thing to see your rabbi, Chayev Odom Lahakbil Pnei Rabbi Beregel. A person is required to receive the face of his rabbi on the holiday. That's a time when the face of the rabbi is beaming. It's beaming these moichin. And Rav Nosson Zal writes here that the matzah is that moichin. The Arizal shows, just for those who can get this, we mentioned many times that Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei, the first part of it, the Yud Kei, refers to the brain, the Chochma and Bina. The Vav Kei refers to the body. The Vav is the sixth, the right hand, left hand, trunk of the body, right leg, left leg, the bris, and the malchus on bottom. But the Yud Kei refers to Chochma and Bina, Keser, the upper part. It's brought also that there are four combinations of Yud Kei Vav Kei, four milois, where you can spell it out, you know, with yuds, with hey, yud vav dalet, hey yud vav, hey yud, or we spell it with alephs, yud vav dalet, hey aleph, vav aleph vav, which form four combinations. Av, sag, ma, ban, they're called. 72, 63, 45, and 52. The first two, which correspond to Yudke, which correspond to the brain, of Sog is Bigimatria Matzah. That Matzah is connected to the Moichin, to the Yudke, to the Moichin, to a very high level of Das, to that very bright light that Hashem beams down on Klal Yisrael on that Seder night. That's why it's called Leil Shimurim. You don't have to lock the door. It's a night that's shining. Korev Yoim Asher Hula Yoim V'loy Laila. You know, we sing that night. Okay. So he says Matzah represents that bright light that comes from looking at the face of the tzaddik even though it's before we receive the Torah. Ki ikar yitzias mitzrayim hoya b'schus re'ias pnei tzaddik. Because if you recall, we had showed earlier that in what merit did the Jews leave Egypt? It was dependent on seeing the face of the tzaddik. Bechinas, as it said by Aaron HaKohen, remember, one of the main obstacles to the Jews leaving Mitzrayim was their ability to accept Moshe Rabbeinu's authority and leadership. And who was the one who could challenge that the most? Aaron HaKohen, who was his older brother, and he was there first, and he was leading the Jews the whole time. And that was what Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid of. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu kept telling Hashem, no, I don't want to go. I don't want this job because I don't want to get the Jews in trouble. I don't want to get my brother in trouble. What if I show up and he says, get lost? Baby brother, who are you? Who are you? Now you woke up after four, you're coming on your white horse, you're going to rescue? Go back to where you came from. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid of. And Hashem told him, that's not Aaron HaKohen. Your brother is so special, Veroacha, he's going to come out to greet you. He's going to see you and he's going to feel tremendous joy in his heart, not just on the outside. He's going to really be happy for you. No jealousy. He is the epitome of humility. And in that zechus, that's what gave Moshe Rabbeinu the power. When the Jews saw that Aaron HaKohen accepted him, who could reject him? Who could challenge that? V'chein kol Yisrael ro pnei Moshe, and so to all the Jews. They didn't receive the Torah yet. What did they have spiritually? They saw the face of Moshe Rabbeinu, v'he'eminu boy, and they believed in him. K'moshe kosev, as the Pasuk says, v'ya'amein ha'am, the people believe. And now Rav Nosson Zal is going to explain something very important here. What's called seeing a tzaddik? Listen to this. Because this is one of the things in chapter 4 in Likut Imran, where Rabbeinu Zal speaks about his kashrus to the tzaddik, attaching yourself to the tzaddik, coming close to the tzaddik. Step number one is seeing the tzaddik. But Rabbeinu Zal doesn't define that. What does that mean? What if I'm wearing sunglasses? What if my vision is 30-30, not 20-20? What happens then? Watch him define it here now. Ki ikar hore'iyahu kishahu be'emes ube'emunah. When we talk about seeing a tzaddik, it means when you're seeing him with total honesty and total faith. You believe that he's a tzaddik. She'oz nikro re'iya. Then it's called looking at the tzaddik. K'may she'kosev admor b'mokam achar, as Rabbeinu Zal writes in another place in the Likutei Moran, she'ho emuna b'chinas re'iya. That faith, people say seeing is believing. And Rabbeinu Zal says, believing is seeing. When we say the Shema, what do? We cover our eyes to show, I don't need my eyes. When I'm saying I believe in Hashem, that's not 20-20 vision. That's 10-10 vision. That's a much higher, my faith in Hashem is something that I see much more clearly when I see with my eyes. What I'm seeing with my eyes, I know that today with technology, they can play all kinds of tricks on you. You can look at a picture of somebody and say, wow, I didn't know they lost so much weight. And you find that baloney, the photographer on his little laptop played with the picture a little and took off 60 pounds or 60 kilo and took out the white hairs and made the guy look 80 years younger. So what I see, I don't know if I could trust that. You know, it might be true, might not. What I believe, you ask me, do I believe in Hashem? Do I believe in the Torah? That's much clearer vision. That's a much clearer view. Ki kisheroya pnei hatzadik ve'enoy mamin, because when a person is looking at the face of a tzaddik, but they're not sure, they don't really believe he's a tzaddik, or maybe he's a tzaddik, Ein ze nikro re'iya klal. That's not called seeing. When we talk about looking at a tzaddik, seeing a tzaddik, it means looking for real, where the person is looking with total respect and admiration, and knowing that this is, I really believe that this is a tzaddik. Ki be'emes einoi royes hatzaddik klal, because the truth is that the person is not seeing the tzaddik, me'achar shelefi daitoi einoi tzaddik. Since, you know, it's the fact, I'm looking at him, but I don't know if he's a tzaddik or not. So that's not called looking at a tzaddik. Looking at a tzaddik is when you're sure, when you're 100% sure and positive that that's a tzaddik. Since according to him he's not a tzaddik because he doesn't believe in him, nimtza she'enoi roye es hatzaddik klal. Therefore, that's not called seeing the tzaddik at all. Avol Yisrael, whereas the Jewish people ra'u es Moshe, they saw Moshe Rabbeinu when he came to take them out of Egypt, ve'eminu bo, and the Torah says vayamen ov, they did believe that this was the real deal. That's called seeing the tzaddik. And therefore they were able to receive this incredible new seichel, this incredible heightening of the brain, which one receives when looking at the tzaddik. And through that they were zecher to be taken out of Egypt on the night of Pesach, Shemeir Aleim Oz He'ora Gedoyla Misham, which is a night when there's a tremendous light coming from the face of the tzaddik, Sheloi Keseder, and that light comes in a form of Sheloi Keseder, Ki Yodua Bekavonis, as is known in the writings of the Arizal. The Arizal explains, and this Rav Nosson Zal mentions many times throughout Likutei Halachos, that standard procedure in heaven is you make the first move and then Hashem moves. Hashem says, Shuvu Eilai v'shuv Aleichem. You take a step towards me, you show that you want to do tshuva, and then I'll take a step towards you. The pasuk says, Harchev Picha, open your mouth wide, Hashem says, Va'amalehu, I'll fill it. Who has to make the first move? We have to make the first move. The Sifrei Kabbalah explained that when it came to the Jews being taken out of Egypt, Hashem saw the situation, and he saw that if he waits one more second, there's not going to be anybody to take out. The Jews are going to hit such a low that it's going to be beyond fixing, irreparable damage totally. So Hashem just grabbed them. He went in and grabbed them. Sheloi keseder. He did not wait for us to make the first move in a sense. Even though we find that in the Gemara and in other places, it mentions that the Jews did do certain things. We didn't change our name, and the Dam Pesach, and the all kinds of different things, but still, the Sifrei Kabbalah make it perfectly clear, it wasn't enough. It wasn't the Isarusa de la Sato that's usually needed, especially for Hashem to give the kind of light that he was going to be giving on that night of Pesach, billions of watts. We did not have the kelim for it. But Hashem broke the rules, he broke all the rules, and he went ahead and dumped a huge, huge light upon us at that time in order to rescue us, in order to take us out of Mitzrayim at that time. That's why right after that, the next day, we start a whole process of baby steps. Hayom yom echad lomer. We start, like we make ourselves all into babies. Today is day one of my life. Tomorrow's going to be day two, day three, to show that we can keep a seder. You know, that now we're going to start climbing the ladder, keseder, inch at a time, inching our way up. No big blasts of light. And that's one of the reasons Rav Nosson brings why the meal that we have on the night of Pesach is called a seder. What kind of name is that? Call it a party, a bash. There's all kinds of nice words to use. What kind of word is seder? The answer is that's reminding us of what's going on here tonight. That because of the fact that we were in such a precarious position, we were in such a fragile position, that Hashem was forced to deal with us shaloi keseder, now we're correcting that. Part of our fixing that is showing that we can follow a seder. Kadesh, urchatz, you know, following a formula step by step, going in order. Okay. Umishom nimshach kedushas hamatzah shel Pesach. And it's from this great light that Hashem shines, this Re'iyas Pnei Tzadik, that there comes the holiness of the matzah that we eat on Pesach, Shenimshach Kedusha Samoichin Koidim Kabbalah Satoira, whereby we received a large measure of Sechel even before we got the Torah. And for this reason, we must avoid chametz completely. Because in order for us to fix and sort out the bad from the good in chametz, that we can't do until we receive the Torah. And this is why, then, if that were the case, we should have to wait till Shavuos. We know that we're allowed to start eating chametz right after Shvi Shel Pesach in Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz Laretz, they have one more day. This year, interesting, this year, Shvi Shel Pesach is on Friday. So this year, even in Eretz Yisrael, we're going to go from Shvi Shel Pesach into Shabbos. Even the Jews of Eretz Yisrael are going to be keeping an eighth day in a sense, because there's no time to switch the chametz. You're going from Shvi Shel Pesach into Shabbos, literally. So we continue using our Pesach Dikah dishes and our, you know, for that Shabbos also. But usually, for people in Eretz Yisrael, after the seventh day, we're allowed to eat chametz. Why? We didn't get the Torah yet. Shehu Kriyas Yamsuf. Because on the Shvi Shel Pesach is when Hashem split the Red Sea. Because it was when Hashem split the Red Sea, that was the beginning of Kabbalah Satorah, of this incredible, incredible great light of the Torah being shined on us. And that's why even before we came to Har Sinai, before Matan Torah, right after Kriyas Yamsuf, we already received a couple of mitzvahs. Kamei Shekosev, as the Pasuk says in Parshas Yisroi, Shom Sam Loi Choyku Mishpat. That over there, Hashem gave us Chukim and Mishpatim before we got to Har Sinai. Ki Kriyas Yamsuf, Ikroi Nimshach, Alidei, Ruach Elokim. Because Kriyas Yamsuf was brought about through this heavenly Ruach, this Ruach Elokim. Just like the Torah, what gives the Torah its holiness? The Ruach Elokim that's upon it. By Kriyas Yamsuf also, it says that the sea was raging from the Ruach of Hashem. Shehu b'chinas kabbalas haTorah. V'alkein be'emes zochu oz kol echod lahasogos gedolos. And this is why we find the Torah tells us that at Kriyas Yamsuf, every single person there received an incredible high level of seichel, of das, as it says in the Mechilta, Roaso Shivcho Alayam Mashaloi Roye Cheskel Ben Buzi, that the lowest level person, a maidservant over there, saw Hashem more clearly than Yecheskel Ben Buzi. So we see there was a tremendous revelation of Hashem's light there. Shekol ze nimshach machmashe oz nivku mayonois hachochmo shomeime hatoira. And how did that come about? Because just like there was a physical splitting of the sea down here, the Sforim tell us that the sea above, the Yam HaChochma, was split wide open. Hashem opened up the Yam HaChochma and gave the Jews the ability to understand and to see things that they never understood before. Mibchinas v'ruach olikim rachefes al pnei amoyim. Shaydezeh hoyo hanes shel kriyas yamsuf. Because it's this incredible ruach that brought about the miracle of Kriyas Yamsuf, gam begashmius, even on a physical level. Shehoyo alidei ruach, which was through ruach, kama shekosuv, as the pasuk says, vayoylech Hashem es hayam beruach kodim kol halayla. Hashem moved the sea with a strong east wind throughout the whole night. So we see that there was this ruach alekim that was churning things up for Kriyas Yamsuf. And as it says in the Shira, Noshafta beruchacha, Hashem, you blew with your ruach, kisamayom, and the sea covered up the Egyptians. Ki akoil hoya alidei ruach elokim hamarachef al pnei amoyim. Because all of those miracles taking place there were all being performed through that ruach elokim, which is marachif on the mayim of Torah. You know, the same thing. That's what Hashem used, that ruach, to dry the sea for the Jewish people, to move the water out of the way for them. And then have the waters return to drown the Egyptians. Vaideze gilo lakoil shehu odoin yochid manhig umashkiach. And that's how Hashem showed everybody who's in charge, that he's the only one who's running the world. Ki hamayim misnahagim rak baruchoi. The waters are being controlled only through Hashem's ruach. Shehu bechinas ha-Torah, which is the Torah, that ruach lekim, shemenaheges umekayemes kol hadvorim, which leads and controls everything. Uberetzoinoi humanig ruach lefkoya hayom uleyabshe lefnei Yisrael. And with Hashem's will, he uses the wind to split the sea and to dry the land before the Jewish people. V'acharkach lehashivoi el Mitzrayim. And then he uses the wind to drown the Egyptians. So we see, therefore, that on Shvi Shel Pesach, when the Red Sea split, that was the beginning of Kabbalah Satoira. That was the beginning of this revelation of this Ruach Elokim and everything. Al Kein Oz Hutar Chometz. That's why we're allowed to start eating chometz even from there. Ki Oz Daiko Yecholin Lahachnia Haruach Gavoya. Because when you have this Ruach Elokim, when the Ruach Elokim is powerful, it can defeat the Ruach Gavoya, the Gaiva. Ulevare Ruach Zeh Ho'olam Hanechas Bachometz, and to extract the Ruach of Olam Hazeh, the Gashmius, the Gaiva that attaches itself to Chometz, Levareroi Meharuach Gavoya Zeh, knows to sort out, the to take away, to extract this Ruach Gavoya from the food. And thereby see to it that the food, without that gaiva, the food becomes humility. It becomes eternal life. Shehu ikra chaim, which is real living. Aval bePesach koidem kabbalas haTorah. Whereas on Pesach, when we had not yet received the Torah, sheiefsher levararoi, and therefore we aren't capable yet of extracting, removing that ruach gavoya, tzrichen lechol matzah. We must limit ourselves to matzah, livroyach me ruach zeh ha'olam legamri, to run away from the ruach of olam hazeh, the ruach of this world, shelo yisaches bachila, that it shouldn't attach itself to our food, to what we're eating. V'alkein nizkar mitzvah zoi shel matzah betfilin. Now we come back to what we started with. Why is all of this found in my tefillin? This whole business about matzah and chometz, ki tefillin heim b'china zois. Because as we learned earlier, tefillin is re'iyas pnei atzadik. Remember? Tefillin is looking at the face of the tzadik. The four parshias, the dalet moichin, all the different things that we showed in the beginning. Lehachnia sitra demoisa, to bring about the downfall of the other side, shu bechinas chometz bePesach, which is synonymous of chometz on Pesach, bechinas machmetzes. As we find, the Torah uses the term machmetzes, and the Zohar HaKadosh says, tamon meis, tamon chometz. The word machmetzes has the letters meis on the outside, the mem and tof, which means meis, and chometz on the inside. Chometz is death, when we can't make a tikkun for it, you know, when we don't have the Torah. Kemuva, as is brought in the Zohar HaKadosh, ulahamshech chayim nitzchiyim, and to draw upon ourselves eternal life, shehu b'chinas anova, which is synonymous with humility. Shezeu b'chinas matzah, shehu b'chinas moichin degadlus, kemuva. That's matzah, which is referred to as a very high level of seichel, as we mentioned before, of sog, you know, moichin, high level moichin. Shehu ikar anova, which is what humility is really all about. Bechinas, as the Gemara says, b'mokoyim gedulosoy, shom atomoitzan v'sanusoy. The greater a person is, the more humility he has. Because again, a person who's not so great doesn't know how much he doesn't know. Moshe Rabbeinu, because he knew so much, because he saw so much of Hashem,
He knew better than anybody else how much he doesn't know, how much there still is to know. You get a baby, you know, who learns that the mother starts teaching him 2 + 2 = 3, and the baby finishes, and the baby says, "Wow, I'm a genius. I know." He tells him, "Daddy comes home, Daddy, I'm so smart." "How smart are you?" "I know that 2 + 2 = 4. I'm the smartest kid on the whole block, and maybe I'm even smarter than you, Daddy. I don't even know if you learned that. Mommy taught it to me today. I don't know if she taught you." Because a person has so little knowledge, sometimes that makes them think that they're so great. Whereas the Torah says, "B'mokem shatamoitze gidulosoi, the greater, shomatamoitze anvesanusoi, the more humility." And we see this among tzaddikim, among religious people. The more religious, the more humility. He doesn't feel better than anybody else or bigger than anybody else. He feels tiny. He feels like nothing. He has that busha. Now, Rav Nosson Zal gives another reason. There are many reasons listed in the Gemara, other places, why matzah is called lechem oini. Rav Nosson Zal says, I'll give you another reason. You know why? Bechinas hachno va'anova, miloshen oni. That this food reminds me that I'm small. I'm not eating those big bloated chalis, the ones that are 6 inches or 6 feet tall. I'm eating the flat stuff because I'm flat. I'm low. Bechinas hachno vanova shehu ikar achayim. That's real living. That's true life. Shezeh bechinas matzah. That's what matzah is all about.